I said last Sunday when I preached, I said I didn't really have a title for the sermon, and I said Joe could just put whatever title that he wanted on it, and if you happen to go in and view last week's sermon, he titled it, Are You Walking in Faith or Are You Walking in Fear? Well, today is going to be Walking in Faith or Are You Walking in Fear Part 2, and the title of this one is going to be The Casting. I don't want to spend a lot of time reviewing last week's sermon before we move into today's message, but there's a couple things I want to remind you of that we talked about last week. Number one, that we live in an information world. If you happened to be here last Sunday, then you heard that over and over. We want all the information that we possibly can at all the times, and with our phones today, they're at our fingertip. We as Christians, sometimes we also want more information from God before we will move forward in faith. An example, God, I wouldn't walk in fear or anxiety if I knew this or if I knew that or if I knew the outcome, I would be much easier for me to walk in faith. Number two, if you remembered, we shared you today, and I mean everyone that is here today, has enough information right now to be successful in your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need more information. You think, well, I need to need more stuff. I need to know more stuff. You have enough information of what God has given you to be successful in your walk by taking that next step. Because as you take that next step, you find out as you grow and as you learn that the Lord blesses you with more information. We looked at Abram, that his name would be changed to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5 last week. We won't go there, it's just a reminder that he was told to leave and he left. We also talked about Peter and Andrew in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, that they would become fishers of men. And when the Lord Jesus called them, they dropped their nets and they followed him. What information that they had, that's all the information that they had. They all walked in faith with the information that they had. As they walk with God, more would be revealed to them, and it was revealed to them. When we walk in faith, we are by our footsteps saying, I believe that God is who he says he is and that God will do what he says he will do. If we are walking in fear, or if we are walking in anxiety, we are saying by our footsteps, I do not believe that God is who he is, and that what he says he is, or that he will do what he says that he will do. Because our footsteps show that. If I'm walking in fear, then I'm not walking in faith. If I'm walking in anxiety, then I'm not walking in the truth of the Scripture, but I'm walking through the adversity that I'm facing, and I'm not doing it by faith. Turn with me today to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And when you get to Isaiah, we're going to read several passages through this, but if you look at verse 1 to begin with, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says this, But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in your place. The Lord is your God. He is the one that has redeemed you. Doesn't matter what you're walking through, the waters will not overflow you, the fire is not going to overtake you. Because he is there with you. He is your God. I do not walk in fear. I walk in faith. Verse 5. Verse 5 says this, Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved and have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. These are powerful verses that we need to connect our lives to when we're facing the challenges in life that we all face. Verse 18, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Thou shalt spring forth, shall you know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I know that my Redeemer lives, and so will I. Saints, do you believe that today? Now, last week we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, and we want to go back there today. So go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And what does it say? It's saying to you, as a saint of God, for those that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says to you in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God does not give you anxiety. God does not give you fear. He wants you to walk in faith, in trust of His Word. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear and anxiety is not from God. Say that with me. Fear and anxiety is not from God. Say it again. Fear and anxiety is not from God. And if it's not from God, then it's not for me. Then if it's not from God, it's not for me. It's not mine. I don't want it. I don't claim it. I bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I take the power over fear and anxiety, because I can take the power over the powers of darkness. If it's not from God, then who's it from? Satan. What purpose does he have in it? The fear and the anxiety that you have. He wants to cripple your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to hinder your faith. Will you accept it? And I say, no, I will not accept it. I'm not going to claim it. I'm not going to accept it. It's not mine. It's not from God, and I do not want it. Now, many of you, I'm going to attach this to somebody else, because if I attach it to myself, then you might be mad at me. I don't want you mad at me, okay? Many of you like Charles Stanley, and you listen to Charles Stanley, and you've read Charles Stanley's books. Well, I do too. I like him. I've listened to him. I've read his books. I've got many of his books at home. And he said the other day, when I was listening to him, you know what he said? He said, fear and anxiety is a sin because you're not walking in faith. Now, everybody that deals with fear and anxiety, you say, I'm glad that's not from Pastor Leo, because I'd be mad at him. We'll assign it to the guy that's already went on to glory, okay? He's already walking on the streets of gold, but he said that. He said that fear and anxiety, if you're walking in fear and anxiety, it is a sin because you're not walking in the faith and the trust of the Scriptures. Now, I know, brother and sister, sometimes that's easier said than done. I've been there with you, and I understand that. But we have to work on it, and we need to continue to working on it. So when you say, well, it's a sin, I'm born again. I'm not a sinner anymore. And no, you're not a sinner. You're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You have been forgiven. Your sins are thrown as far as east and from the west. You are the righteousness of God today through Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we get over in the flesh and then we still sin, don't we? We're not sinners, but we still sin. And when we sin, we need to do what? We need to ask forgiveness. Lord, I ask your forgiveness today, because I am walking in anxiety, and that's not from you. I need to put my trust in you and walk in the truth of the Scriptures. We bind the powers of darkness in the name of the Lord. Now turn with me to Psalm 55 and verse 22. Now we're going to turn away from here in a little bit, but we're going to come back to it. So, in other words, if you get to Psalm 55:22, and you turn there, and then when I leave it, I'm going to come back to it. It's a very simple verse. This is what it says. Verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord. So Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now there's three words here. There's two of them I want to talk about. The first one is a burden. Do we all have burdens? Yes, we all have burdens. Of course we do. And they affect each one of us differently. Have you ever had, I have to apologize to my wife, because sometimes if something's bothering my wife, I will say, well, that shouldn't bother you. That doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work for you to tell somebody else, well, that shouldn't bother you. Because why? Because it's bothering them. And because it's bothering them, it's a burden. Whether it's a burden to you or a burden somebody else, it doesn't matter. It's a burden to me because it's bothering me. Because maybe that is something that you wouldn't be bothered by, but it's sure bothering the heck out of them. Listen to me. We each today, and I want you to get this, I want you to understand this. We each today are a living soul. The soul is made up of your personality and your emotions. Everyone has them, because everyone has a soul. But we also say, it says in the Scripture, that we are wonderfully and fearfully made in Psalm 139:14. You are individually, uniquely made. All different. All having a different emotional and personality makeup. Every one of you do. Isn't that amazing? That we can all be so like in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are so much different. We are different in our emotional makeup, and we are also different in our personality. And that's what makes you unique. That's what makes you a neat person. It's what makes you, you. Now I want you to turn with me to the Lord's Psalm 23. Turn with me to Psalm 23. We're going to come back, Psalm 55, but go with me to Psalm 23. And the Lord just taught me this, and I think it's just beautiful the way it's illustrated here. But when you're in Psalm 23, in verse 1 it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He does what? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. What was David saying? He restores my emotions and he restores my personality. The shepherd, when you think about this, and this is a picture because Jesus is the great shepherd, he would bring the sheep into the sheepfold at night. Now think about it. If you was out in the field and you were caring for 50 sheep, and you brought 50 sheep into the sheepfold, and you went to minister to those sheep, because there's some that got scratches. There's some of them that's got injury. There's some of them that's got feet problem. There's some of them that have this problem. There's some of them that have that problem. You don't treat all of your sheep the same way, and God does not treat you the same way either. He is here to restore your soul individually, where you're at, and what you need. Amen. That's beautiful. Now just think about the presence of the Holy Spirit coming through this room right now. What does He need for Pastor to do in Pastor Carol's life? What does He need to do in my life? What does He do in your life? And the Holy Spirit ministers in the way that the Holy Spirit does, and it's amazing. You know, I've had people say, well, I know that Pastor Leo, when he was preaching last Sunday, he was looking right at me. And you know what? I don't even see people when I preach. I just get into the zone and I just share what God has laid upon my heart. I just very rarely ever see a person because I'm preaching the Word. But the Holy Spirit can take that word, and because He can zero in on you what you need, because He knows that the Holy Spirit knows you need that restoration in your life, He will take a sermon of something I wasn't even talking about, and He will take that, divide it severally as He will, and meet the need in your life. So a minister can preach one sermon and they can get 50 topics out of that, because that's where God was meeting you. God is meeting you today in the sheepfold to minister to you what you need in your life, what your personality needs, what your emotions need. He's here to meet you to bring restoration. You see, the burden is not the problem. Oh, you think I got away from my sermon, didn't you? The burden is not the problem. So go back with me to Psalm 55 and verse 22. In verse 22, we read that again. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The word burden in the Greek and Hebrew are very close to the very same meaning. A weight that is crushing. Something heavy. In Hebrew, it brings out that it is something that you are yoked together with. If you've ever had a concern, a burden that was wearing down on your heart and it was keeping you up at night, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I stumble into the living room so I can get something to drink, and when I'm in there, of course, I got to get something to eat. And I look over at my wife, and my wife's sitting there, why are you not in bed? I just cannot sleep. And sometimes it's a burden that's laid on her heart. And because of that burden, she just can't unload it to go and rest. You ever been there? We've all been there in one shape or form or another. A weight that is crushing. Something that you are yoked together with. You cannot put it down and you cannot let it go. So as I said, if the burden itself is not the problem, then what is? The problem is what you do with it. Psalm 55, verse 2, did you catch it? Look at the verse again. Cast. The casting of that burden, that problem, that weight to one who can do something about it is the Lord. Because you're carrying something you're not supposed to carry. You're carrying something that doesn't belong to you. He's filling you, the adversary is filling you with anxiety and worry that does not come from God. So all these things that we are not carrying from God, and it's weighting us down in a terrible, terrible manner. I hate it. The reason I speak on it so much is because I hate it, because I hate to see what it does in people's lives. People don't do what God would want them to do because they're filled with fear and anxiety. You need to remember that you have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. You can do whatever God would call you to do. I can do all things through who? Through Christ who strengthens me. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Verse 28, it says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The taking off of the yoke of bondage, the yoke of anxiety, the yoke of fear, and putting on the yoke that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and will find rest for your what? For your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, we not only do this at the point of salvation, but every day of our lives, sometimes I need to get unyoked. Trading the yoke of bondage to the yoke of freedom. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter in chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. C. See what it says here. And we're going to give you three different translations. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Verse 7 says this. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what it says in the New King James. I'll read it again. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In the NLT it says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. The New International Version adds a different word in there. He says, cast all. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. No, the burden is not the problem. We all have them. It's what we do with that or those burdens. People say, I have said, well, if I could just get peace over this. Have you been there? You wanted to get peace, but you couldn't get peace, and you couldn't sleep because you were worried, because you were filled with anxiety, and you couldn't get peace over that. Now listen to me. You might need to write this down. You cannot get peace over a burden you're carrying. I'll say that again. You cannot get peace over a burden while you're carrying it. Not at the same time. It doesn't work. Scripturally, it doesn't work. The Scripture is going to point that out to us. It's like saying, while you're standing in a rainstorm, I was trying to think of an example for you. I couldn't think of anything, but I wrote this down. It's like saying, while you're standing in a rainstorm, I just wish I could feel dry. Then you need to step out of the rain if you want to feel dry. Do something with that weight that is on your shoulders. You've got to unload it before the peace is available to you. Perfect casting verse on the portion, in the portion of Scripture is what we've been going through. We've been trying to go through on CE on Sunday morning. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, I go to verse 4. In Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I rejoice because of God's goodness. I rejoice because of what God has made available to each and every one of us today. I start this prayer out with rejoicing. Verse 3, let your gentleness be known, made known to men, the Lord is at hand. And what does he say in verse 6? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now stop. That's the casting portion of the Scripture. I'm going to take this burden that I'm hanging on to, I'm going to take this burden that is weighing me down, and I'm going to cast it over to the Lord. Now, many of you are in the business world. I can give you an example. I couldn't get here for song practice the other day with Carol and Stephanie, and I didn't even the week before with Michelle and Joanna. What did I do? Oh, I just know they're going to screw it up. I just know they're going to mess it up so bad, I'll get up there, I won't even know the songs, I won't even know how to sing it. What did I do? I cast it. Because I knew that they were going to take care of it. I didn't have to worry. It wasn't a burden of mine anymore. That's their burden. They got to get it together. I don't have to, because I've cast it. That's what the Lord is telling us to do. When you have a burden, you need to cast it over to Him. And when you cast it over to Him, only when you cast it over to Him, does the next verse come in line. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So only after prayer, only after casting, those things that I am anxious about, and because I've cast it to one that can do something about it, now the peace is available to me. I can't carry it and have peace at the same time. How are you doing on casting? Are you walking in faith or are you walking in fear? we need to practice our casting. Last week in school, I brought in a fishing pole, had a bobber on it. And I told the kids, I really love to go fishing. I never get to, but I love to. Last year I went fishing one time, and I told the kids, I said, Jennifer keeps me too busy. I can't go fishing. But I was showing them that you cast that out there. Well, that's what we need to do with our prayers and the burdens that we have. We need to cast them. We need to unload them. And when you unload them, then the peace that passes all human comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And what does the Apostle Paul say after that? Everything that is lovely, everything that is good, everything has a good report, everything that is praiseworthy, focus on these things. Yeah. Replace it. And what does he say after that? He says, what you have seen in me, I want you to do. Now, we've talked about this in CE 2 weeks ago, that no one is excluded from the grace of God. No one is excluded from the love of God. No one is excluded for the equipping that God gives us through the Word of God. No one is excluded from that. If Paul says, I can do that, he's saying to you today, you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then what does he say after that in the Scripture? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's going to take practice. But I can get there. In my walk with the Lord Jesus, I say more times than not, God has got this. God has got this. I am not going to wrestle with it. I'm not going to carry it. I'm not going to emotionally and deal with it, because God's got it. We need to believe that in our heart and believe that in our life. God has got this because God has got you.